It's indeed a wonderful privilege and blessing for me to be here before you this morning. It's wonderful that God has allowed us to come through the storm unharmed. We may have had some damage and some things that have had to have been repaired, but it's a blessing that we are all able to be here this morning, to be able to remember our Savior Jesus Christ and everything He did for us through the communion, to study a portion of God's Word, to sing praises to Him, to go to Him in a word of prayer, to bow before His throne, and to be able to give back a portion of what God has given to us. This is the first day of the week. This is the day that we have set aside through God's Word and His truth. We know this to be so, that this is the day that He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to remember His Son, Jesus Christ. Our topic this morning is walking in love, light, and wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul implored the brethren in Ephesus, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Paul said that they were called, and he encouraged them to walk worthy of that calling. Looking throughout the letter to the Ephesians, we can find that we have been called to be holy and without blame before Him in love. We have been called to be sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, called to be fellow citizens with the saints, called to be members of the household of God, called to be a holy temple in the Lord, called to be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ. Seeing that we have been called with a most amazing and wonderful calling, what sort of walk is worthy of such a calling? In chapter 4, Paul encouraged us to walk together in unity, to walk in truth, and to walk in holiness. In our passage this morning from chapter 5, we're going to learn that our walk or our conduct in this life, which is worthy of our calling, is one in which we walk in love, walk as light, and walk as wise. Let's turn to our passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesian brethren, and beginning reading in chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Our passage reads as follows from the New King James Version. "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and given Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That being our reading this morning, we have an opportunity at this time to go to our God in a word of prayer. So won't you bow yourself, humble yourself in some manner while our brother leads us. Walking in love, light, and wisdom. Why is it so important? As indicated in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, we are to be followers of God as dear children. And just as God is love, light, and wisdom personified, so we should try to imitate our Heavenly Father. Therefore, let's consider first how we should walk in love. Verse 2 of our passage encourages us to focus on the highest and noblest example of true and serving love that the world has ever known. The example of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, gave himself up to a death of excruciating pain and shame. He didn't do this for his own glory, but so that we, as disobedient mankind, would have the opportunity to obtain salvation from the wages of our own disobedience, the wrath of God that is to come. He gave himself for us because of his love for us. This verse also highlights how he was obedient to God. His obedience constrained him to become an offering and a sacrifice, not for his own glory, but to glorify God above all. To God, this example of loving obedience was a sweet-smelling aroma, a pleasing sacrifice. He offered himself to God in our stead because of his love for his Father. Let Jesus' example teach us how to walk in love. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus spoke about the connection between obedience and love. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Indeed, Jesus would remind us that obedience to him could not be separated from love for one another. As we strive to encourage and teach each other, we should remember that our example of love in these matters proves to others around us that we are his true disciples. In John's first letter, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, John gives us two examples of how we can know we are walking in the love of Christ. The first is extraordinary. The second is mundane. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? We can all agree that the extraordinary case of giving one's life for our brethren is an example of true love. But just as important, if not more so, is the example of everyday service tending to the needs of our brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. In our passage, when we observe verses 3 through 7, we find that while following Christ's example in love, we must make sure that our conduct is from a love that is pure. Our love should be free from any hint of immorality or greed. The scriptures teach us even words or jokes suggestive of immorality or greed are unbecoming those who are called to be saints, who are holy and set apart for God's purposes. This is a serious concern, for immoral or greedy people have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ, but instead will experience the full wrath of God. Walking in love, with a love that is sacrificial and free from any hint of selfish personal gain, from pleasures or money, is the kind of walk that is worthy of our calling as saints. Our walk also bears the responsibility of being a positive influence in the world in which we live. Jesus talked about being a light on a hill. The Apostle Paul now continues in our passage discussing this positive influence as we walk as children of light. In verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5, we are called to remember where we came from. Remember where we were. Before coming to Christ, we were once in spiritual darkness, groping, crawling through the mire that was a lack of trusting, obedient faith, leaning on the lies of earthly pleasures, despairing of a hope beyond anything but this life and its sorrows. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul vividly pictures our previous depraved state when he says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Now, however, what a transformation. No longer darkness, we are now light in the Lord. And we should walk as children of light. Continuing on in our passage, Paul speaks about the example and responsibilities we have as children of light. Walking as light means our actions bring about goodness instead of hurt, righteousness instead of disobedience, truth instead of lies and darkness. This is the fruit that is expected of children of light. By bearing such fruit, we fulfill our role as light to those around us by proving and demonstrating what is well-pleasing to the Lord. Paul spoke of this transformation, this beautiful metamorphosis, when he wrote to the church in Rome. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our passage now reminds us that walking as children of light, though a wonderful blessing, also brings about a heavy responsibility. As light, we must necessarily expose darkness. That's what light does. We must not enjoy fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Examples of these were mentioned earlier in our passage this morning, including fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Instead, our task as Christians is to expose them. These things that we must expose, the scriptures tell us, are often so disgraceful, it is even shameful to speak of them. But by walking in the light ourselves, we can, through our example, following Jesus Christ, And our word exposed these works of darkness through the contrast of our fruits of light. Along these lines, we must be careful not to submit ourselves to those things that people normally do in secret, and the Word of God says are so shameful, it is a disgrace even to speak of them. We must be careful with the things we purposefully listen to and watch, that we are not partaking in the portrayal of these disgraceful works of darkness. Thus we are called to be light ourselves, something that comes only from Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 4 through 6, Paul said, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Some scholars believe that verse 14 of our passage was part of an old hymn, maybe used after a baptism, much as we often sing, "O Happy Day," in our time. Regardless, the words are a beautiful call and promise to walk as light. "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." To walk as light is an awesome responsibility, but this walk is worthy of our calling. Some have allowed the darkness to overshadow the light, rather than the light exposing the darkness. How can we be sure to carry out our role as the children of light? This is where wisdom comes in. As children of God, we are encouraged to walk as wise rather than fools. Of course, wisdom is not something that comes automatically simply because we are Christians. Wisdom comes from practice and from prayer. Practice brings experience, and without it, we cannot know whether something is wise or is foolish. Prayer brings help from the providence of God, allowing us to be able to discern and judge between wisdom and foolishness. James, in chapter 1, in verse 5 of his letter, said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." When King Solomon asked for wisdom from God instead of the normal earthly riches, God was pleased and blessed Solomon with those earthly riches as well. However, as supernaturally wise as Solomon was, sometimes he still chose to play the fool. Even though we may practice and pray to be wise, we must be warned that through our free will and choices, we may still be foolish. Our passage this morning gives us some characteristics of true wisdom, which we would be wise to heed in our walk. First, as we walk as wise, we must be sure to do so with great care. The word translated circumspectly means exactly, accurately, or diligently. This is the exact opposite of the foolish, who care little about where they are going or what is happening around them. To walk as wise means that we pay attention to what we do, making sure that it is according to God's word, and that we observe what is going on around us, looking for opportunity to wisely help others, whether it be in words of comfort, encouragement, or even warning, or actions that help others come to Christ, or even in simple needs of daily life. Second, we are encouraged to take advantage of the time that is available to us. The scriptures tell us that the life of a man is like vapor, which rises and then disappears. Indeed, our time often flies away from us before we know it, and soon we are wishing we had it back. To redeem the time is to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that our zeal and our well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. This is necessary, the scriptures say, because the days are evil. This means the days bring toils, sufferings, and perils, which cause pain and trouble, tempting the faith and steadfastness of the children of God. God has given each of us our time here on earth. Walking as wise means we redeem it by doing God's will rather than fulfilling our own pleasures. The third characteristic of walking as wise is to understand the will of the Lord. Only by understanding the will of the Lord can we be a wise people. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the scriptures tell us, "Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" Just as Israel was to demonstrate their wisdom by doing the will of the Lord, so we can walk as wise only if we understand His will for us. How can this be accomplished? Read, study, and meditate on the Word of God daily. Every day that passes without the Word of God is a full day without an attempt to understand what the will of the Lord is. Finally, to walk as wise requires being filled with the Spirit. While those who walk as fools delight in being filled with wine, those who walk as wise will endeavor to be filled with the Spirit. Now please don't confuse Paul's use of being filled with the Spirit here as something supernaturally miraculous, such as the filling of the Holy Spirit promised to the apostles on the day of Pentecost, or the Holy Spirit falling upon the Gentile household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Nor is this the same as the imparting of spiritual gifts by the laying on of the hands of the apostles, used for evidence of the authority of the gospel being preached. Instead, Paul is speaking here of a filling of the Spirit that all Christians have through the living Word of God abiding in their hearts and minds. What evidence is there that one is filled with the Spirit? Paul describes three indications in the final verses of our passage. One indication is the singing of praises to God. Another indication is the giving of thanks to God. And a third indication is submitting to one another in the fear of God. Sometimes these might be hard for us to do. But these, the scriptures say, indicate that we are filled with the Spirit. If we are truly filled with the Spirit, as Paul describes here, then these things will be evidenced in our walk as wise. In conclusion, children of God who delight in singing praises and making melody in the heart, giving thanks always for all things to God, and submitting to one another in the fear of God, demonstrate that they are filled with the Spirit, and as such, truly, are followers of God as dear children. As children of God, and filled with the Spirit, we are able to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. as we walk in love, walk as light, and walk as wise. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a world that has perverted the meaning of love, that takes perverse pleasure in works of darkness, and that stumbles around aimlessly like drunken fools. Can we not see the need for the people of God today to live up to our calling and to prove what is acceptable in the Lord? May God fill His children with His Spirit so that we can truly walk in love, walk as light, and walk as wise, thereby showing to the world the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, righteousness, and truth by our examples. This is our lesson this morning. Paul, at the time, the young man Saul, was on his way to Damascus. And he had his eyes set on Damascus and taking care of some worldly things that he thought were right. And that was the destruction of the church. But Jesus Christ appeared to him. And Jesus Christ made him blind. That vision that Paul had before this meeting with Christ was one that was just focused on the world and doing what Saul thought was right. And Jesus said to Paul, he said, "It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And so, I wonder what our vision is here this morning. Is our vision set on a walk of worldly things? Or is it set on a walk of love and light and wisdom in God and Christ? If you here this morning need to come to Christ and become a Christian, believing that He is the Son of God, and repenting of your sins, confessing that belief in Him, and being baptized, washing away those sins, then we would invite you to come this morning. Or if you have focused your conduct and your worldly or your walk on the world and need to come back and focus back your vision on the walk of love, light, and wisdom in God and Christ, then won't you come also while we stand and sing?